You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Michael K. is on the radio today. And he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking.
It's the Michael K. Show.
Michael K. is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. It's Jacob's birthday. It's Dave Rothenberg's birthday. So happy birthday to all of them and whoever's celebrating a birthday today. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Michael, Don, Peter with you. Don is in Raleigh, North Carolina, where tonight he's going to call the Ranger game. Peter is in sights unknown, but he's here with us. And I'm in the Yes Network studios in Stamford. So I hope everybody's having a great day. A lot of stuff going on.
I mean,
this is one of those days you need more than 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I volunteered for us to do 7. Was shot down.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, he's going to bed last night. You're seeing huge Giants news. You're waking up and you're seeing scary Yankee news. There's a lot happening.
Well, we'll start with the scary Yankee news. So, from the best that I could gather, I don't think there's an overt concern about Judge. Now, obviously, that could change. The fact that they put a 6'7", 287-pound guy into an MRI tube, they don't do that for no reason, but they didn't find anything of his significance. He's supposed to be able to play over the weekend. If he doesn't, he has not had that many at-bats. You do wonder about his availability for opening day. But again, the sense that I'm getting is they're not overly concerned with Judge. Now, we move on to Gerrit Cole. I don't think it's good. I don't think it's good. Now, I don't know how bad it is, but I don't think it's good. So, pitching on opening day is out. They're going to have to come up with another opening day pitcher because he's just behind. And that's if just it's soreness. But, you know, they both had MRIs yesterday. So the fact that we know what Aaron Judge's MRI said shows you that they know what Gerrit Cole's MRI said.
Uh-uh.
I mean, that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you're Gerrit Cole and you get an MRI, the Yankee team physician is available at 4 in the morning, so it's not like they're still waiting for the results. They have the results. The fact that they have not told you what the results are is that they are going to other people. They have to be. They're having the highest people in the business, the best doctors in the business, look at this MRI of Gerrit Cole's elbow. So I don't think it's great. I don't know how bad it is, but you know there are reports out today that the Yankees have re-engaged with the White Sox about Dylan Cease. I would not think that that is the be-all, end-all. As good as Cease is, he does have some warts in his game. He walks a lot of people. He throws hard. He's not Gerrit Cole. And the thing that really makes it hurt for the Yankees, Don, Peter, there is no Gerrit Cole to replace Gerrit Cole with.
No, not at all. And you're not really playing games. Like, you could say, well, maybe they're not saying that he needs something significant like Tommy John because they don't want to hurt their negotiations with Snell. It's the same agent. So, believe me, if he ends up needing Tommy John, the world's going to find out about this.
Right.
It's just a matter of trying, I guess, you know, get all their ducks in a row here for whatever the announcement's going to turn out to be. But we know he's not going to be ready for the start of the season. You're going to need to replace him in the rotation, but to think you're going to go out and get anybody that's going to be comparable to the best pitcher in baseball, forget about it. So
it's a huge blow down.
You say, well, how significant it is at the end of the day will depend on A, who they get to at least fill that spot, and who at the back end of the rotation can maybe give you more than you expect. Because after all, it is 30 starts, right? That's what we're
32.
Looking at. 32, 30, yep. Somewhere in that vicinity. And what's your record going to be in those 32 games? Doesn't mean you're going to go in 32. didn't mean that when you had Cole, you were going to go 32-0.
No, they won 15-4.
So what can you do? And how many games is it going to cost you? And other guys are going to have to step up. So it's a blow, but how huge a blow is going to depend on what their next move is going to be, if it is the worst-case scenario.
Well, the fact that you can't replace Gerrit Cole tells you it's going to be a huge blow. So, I mean, you know, you've got to, until they make a deal or if they make a deal, and I still think that they're loath to go after Snell because, again, it's 110 cents on the dollar. So if you offer him $30 million, that's $60-something million. I don't think they're going to go there. So then let's look at the next man up that they actually have in their system. Luke Weaver would be number one, but he's had a bad spring. So I don't think that he's number one. You've got Will Warren, who they like. You have Clayton Beter, who's pitched well. You have Luis Gil, who's pitched well. You have Chase Hampton as well. Those would be the guys. And Cody Poteet, somebody they signed during the offseason, which was celebrated by a couple of people who called me from outside the Yankee organization, said the Yankees have really done their homework because Poteet is ready to pop. Because he had Tommy John surgery, he's a good pitcher. But he's not Gerrit Cole. So what I worry about, and, you know, this falls on into the lap of Aaron Boone. How does this not demoralize a team? This team is built to win a World Series. They went out and got Juan Soto to win a World Series. And now all of a sudden, you're telling them, Gerrit Cole is out for X amount of whatever. Now, you cross your fingers and you're hoping that it's not the entire season. But when you look at Gerrit Cole, he is a picture of a rock. He's a picture of an ace. He doesn't miss starts. In his Yankee career, the 4 years he's pitched for the Yankees, I think he missed two starts, and that was because of COVID. And when he had a hamstring injury, pitched through it. This guy's a rock. He's dependable. That's what makes him great. And you're not going to replace him. So who's starting opening day now? Is it Carlos Rodon? Is it going to be Marcus Stroman? I mean, whoever you start, even if they have a good year, they're not going to be Gerrit Cole. So can the Yankees rebound from this? And you look at the plethora of talent that the Baltimore Orioles have on a team that won 101 games. Now, they've had their injuries too, but they did make some additions. So you've got to ask yourself, the Yankees won 82 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
The Orioles won 101. Getting Soto and Verdugo and Stroman, did they make up 19 games? Probably not. But if you lose Cole, the ace of your staff, for any significant amount of time, all of a sudden you have to wonder, how much of the 19 games did they make up? So I said this yesterday. If they've lost Cole for the whole season, I'm not saying that's the case, but I think it's not good. I just don't know how bad it is. If they lose Cole for the whole season, they will struggle, no matter what deal they make. And even if they sign Blake Snell, they will struggle to make a wild card spot.
Again, you said his record last year, but what were the Yankees in his
I'm not sure of that, but he was 15-4.
Right. So they won at least, you know, more than 15. They were probably outstanding in the 32 games. So that's how you kind of look at it. But you can also look at it, well, you should get much more out of Nestor Cortez than you got last year. You should get more out of Rodon than you got last year, certainly. Both of those guys are healthy. That's going to be more wins just based out of that. Stroman, I think, if he pitches like he did in the first half of the season. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and talk Yankee fans out of, you know, feeling panic and a sense of urgency. But I think that you can still find a way to be able to survive this, especially if you go out and get, you know, somebody like a Cease, if you go out and you sign Snell. Again, they're not Cole, but ultimately it could still end up being a very good rotation with the addition of a Soto, with a Verdugo. So this team, Michael, even with losing Cole, there's other areas in which they still should be more than an 82-win team. Now, winning the division, very difficult, but I still think they can be a playoff team. And if you get some surprise performances, like we have seen from the Yankees in the past, not last year, but in the past, where the next man up has seemed to work for them, it doesn't mean your season is over.
Well, let's look at it rationally. And Peter, I think, brought this up yesterday.
I bring up a lot.
They're going to have the slug. I mean, because they're not going to have the same pitching they thought they were going to have. So they're going to have the slug. So you have to look at the team that the Yankees are running out there. They got absolutely no production whatsoever out of left field. It was a black hole.
Right.
It was terrible. It was a minus war over the people they put out there. Aaron Hicks, Oswaldo Cabrera, obviously Joey Gallo, all of that. It was terrible. Now you've got Alex Verdugo, a guy you could pencil in for 35 doubles. He's in the last year of his contract, so he's looking to put up big numbers. So your war in left field is going to go up. Is it going to go up 3-4 from zero? Yeah, maybe, maybe. And then Juan Soto. Juan Soto is an addition that you can't even, I don't know if it's possible to quantify. Is he going to have a 5 or 6 war? I'm just worried about losing the war that that Cole gives you. And this is all contingent, guys, on Judge being healthy. Again, I don't think there's an overt concern about him, but anytime you put a 6'7" guy into an MRI tube, there's got to be a reason for it. They say they gave him an abdominal MRI. Now, remember yesterday, Aaron Boone said it's just normal spring training soreness. Well, it wasn't, because normal spring training soreness doesn't put you in an MRI tube. But Judge spoke today. He said it came back clean. I should be good to go this weekend. Now, if that's the case, then he'll be ready to go on the 28th in Houston against the Astros. Now, the big question is, who's going to be the pitcher? Now, other areas that the Yankees have improved in, you're going to have a full season, God willing, of Anthony Rizzo. You're going to have a full season of Jose Trevino. You have to have a better season than you had last year of Giancarlo Stanton. You have to. He had 191. So all of those things, you put them together, they should be better than an 82-win season. And I think that with Cole starting 32, 33 games like he did last year, I think you could make a run at the Orioles. Now, I don't want to be Debbie Downer. I'm not sure that you can. And again, I know they're going to go out and they're going to try to get a pitcher. We'll see who that pitcher is, but I guarantee you this, they're not getting Gerrit Cole back. Gerrit Cole is not available on the market. That's why he's so special. And this is a guy who's been an absolute horse, never gets hurt, ever. So you got to hope it's not Tommy John surgery. But again, the fact that we haven't heard about it means that they're checking with other people, getting second and third opinions from all the experts in the field, and then we'll find out exactly what it is. Again, I don't know how bad it is, but I'm not saying it's good. It's just not. Got to be honest, it's not. So, I mean, the Mets lose Kode Senga, and the Yankees lose Gerrit Cole. It's tough to lose pitchers. Pitchers are tough to replace, even third starters, second starters. But an ace? Go around baseball and try to find me another Gerrit Cole. Doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. He's one of a kind. And, I mean, talk about taking the legs out of a team. You have to wonder, in that room, is this team demoralized? Now, they might be, but it's up to Aaron Boone to rally them and say, hey, it can be done. And it can be done. It just became a lot more difficult. Became a lot more difficult.
Hey, well, listen, one of you tell me the last time that losing a pitcher at the beginning of the season tanked a New York team's season. I mean...
Yeah, but this is like losing Dwight Gooden.
No, I'm joking. This happened last year. It was a joke. It's called Edwin Diaz. It's last season. Whole season, wrap.
He made 33 starts last year. The Yankees were 23-10 in his starts.
Oh, boy.
I actually thought it would be better than that.
So he rattled off a bunch at the end of the season where he won pretty much they won every game that he started. But, you know, it's 23-10. So you might be looking for, you know, 23 wins. Now, his replacement, whoever it may be, should be able to get at least half of that. So now you got to look at, where am I going to pick up?
Another a lot of pressure on Rodon then, Don.
But there should be, because he's supposed to be a very good pitcher. They gave you nothing last year. Yeah. Cortez can bounce back. They should hit, as you outlined, much better than they did last year. So I think, and they will replace him, Michael, I would think. And maybe it's not Snell or Montgomery, but they will replace him with someone. And we'll see if they can rally around him. And Michael, if you're so concerned about the blow, then I guess you have to be in on some of these pitchers, just to let your room know, hey, we still are completely engaged. We're going to try to get the next best thing here. Is that something that they think about? Is Brian Cashman in that kind of a general manager to react to how the room is going to feel, or is it all just about the numbers of how he thinks he can replace these guys, or does he have to think about the mentality of an all-or-nothing season in which you might only have Juan Soto for 1 year? Can you afford to have that year start with Cole hurt or possibly Cole not available all season long? Can you afford mentally to have your team have to endure that?
Well, you know what? It's a great question, Don, because deals that a GM makes certainly sends a message to that room. I mean, the GMs that are active at the trade deadline and bringing reinforcements, that buoys the team. So if you just sit back and say, okay, Cody Poteet or Will Warren or Luis Gil is going to slide in, and everybody's going to, you know, slide up a slot, I don't know if that brings the same energy. But, you know, the last time that I heard that they connected with the Chicago White Sox about Dylan Cease, you know, the first thing the White Sox GM said was Spencer Jones. I mean, are they that desperate to give up their number one position prospect?
Now, we don't know what we're dealing with here. Because if he's only going to miss a handful of starts or maybe even a month, say, arbitrarily,
right,
then you just say to the room, listen, guys, we can't throw this season away on a handful of starts that Cole's going to miss. Everybody's going to have to step it up. Because what you can't do and what Cashman's not going to do is break the bank to replace Cole and then have Cole come back.
Right.
You know, and then what do you do? I don't think they're going to want to do that. Now, if he's done for the year, then you're going to have to do what you're going to have to do, figure it out. But, Michael, if it's a month, how many starts would that end up being?
It could
six?
Be four or five at the
four
most.
Or five. You can't tell your room, guys, all right, five games without Cole. Let's get it done.
I think, and this is just from me, it's not from anybody, if they lose him just for a month, they'll have a party. They'll have a celebratory party
you
if
just said
all
a mouthful,
this is a month.
You just said a mouthful. That would be the... You're saying right now you believe that if we find out he's out a month, that would be good news?
It'd be unbelievable news. The worst fear is he's out a whole year.
Peter, are you hearing what I like? That's... You know, for
that's
people,
a low bar.
That's not nothing, man. Like, I'm thinking Yankee fans are hoping this is nothing. I think they've obviously, you know, opening day is not going to happen. They're living with that. But,
right.
Peter, can you imagine this fan base if a month is the best case scenario?
Well, but if it's a month, they should be celebrating. The Yankee front office would celebrate. Your biggest fear is if he's out the whole year. I mean, when they're doing MRIs on elbows, the first thing you think about is Tommy John surgery. So... And, you know, Tommy John surgery means he's out for the year. Now, if he misses a month, big deal. Big deal, as Don said, you absorb a month. It's not a big deal. You absorb it. It's five starts. Get over it.
Hey, listen.
And then with the off days in April, you could actually maneuver around that it's maybe four starts that he misses. But, you know, if it's more than that, then you really start to panic.
Well, think about it. Like you said, it's four or five starts. I think it's ridiculous to always to make assumptions that any pitcher is going to be able to give you every start. Now, Cole has been a rock. But, you know, you kind of know the way pitchers are so fragile that, yeah, if we can get 32, 33, we'll be thrilled. But there's probably going to be an occasion where a start's going to be missed or there's going to be an IL stint. And it just happens at the beginning of the season rather than it happening at the end of the season when you need the games and you know that you're out of it or you're trying to hold on. They can survive. If you fancy yourself as a championship team, you should be able to survive.
Absolutely.
Gerrit Cole missing a handful of starts.
And again, that's the way to root because you know everybody's kind of admitting he's not going to be ready for opening day. So if he's not going to be ready for opening day, you think he's going to be ready for the first homestand? So I mean, just extrapolate out. If they have to shut him down for a while, if they shut him down completely and say okay, rest it, then that becomes an issue of it takes another 6 weeks to build him up. And I don't even want to go any deeper than that. They also want to make a decision quickly on exactly what's wrong with him. Because if he does, God forbid, need surgery, you got to do it now so he's available next year.
If you
wait a month or 2 months, then he's going to miss next year.
Well, just look no further than what happened with DeGrom.
Right.
DeGrom was having issues. They couldn't pinpoint exactly what it was. You don't want that either. Listen, nobody wants Tommy John. That's the worst case scenario. But you don't want to have to wait. Everything seems fine. Have him come back. Gets hurt again. The mystery illness. And then you find out that it's Tommy John. And now you tack on another year to what could have been over much sooner if you had taken care of it right away. Like whatever it is, find it. All right? Find it and correct it. You don't want to have to be searching for this for the next couple of months only to have it rear its ugly head again. Remember, they caught the break with Tanaka. You wonder, too. You braced for Tanaka, and it never happened. So you hope that it's not going to be the reverse here with Cole.
Yeah, I mean, if it's something with the ligament, if it's a partial tear of the UCL, well, Tanaka never, ever had surgery. He was out about a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back, and that was at the beginning of his run with the Yankees. So, listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat things. I'm going to be as honest with you as I can. So, again, I'll repeat, I don't think there's huge concern when it comes to Judge, but there is concern when it comes to Cole. Let's see what you're saying. Let's go to Cesar in Huntington.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
So, yeah, so I want to touch base on, you know, Gerrit Cole, is he's a horse. But, you know, I'm a strength and conditioning coach. Like, what are you guys doing, like, during the off season that Judge is, like, apparently, like, fatigued, like, during spring training? Like, what are we doing? Like, you know, I know we get into the whole medical issue and, like, you know, but what are these guys doing? Like, Cole, I get it. You know, what are we going to do? We're going to throw a showman, you know, for opening day? I mean, we're going to need some sort of, like, you know, aggression, some sort of, like, oh, all right, let's rally the troops at the end of the day. And I just hope that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, our Aaron Boone is going to try to manage the pitching staff, because it's going to be, you know, kind of a crapshoot.
Well, I assure you, Cesar, he's going to manage the pitching staff. And, you know, his job is to manage what he has. He can't sit there and, you know, woe is me. Now, he's going to have a moment of it. I think everybody involved with the A's is going to have a moment of it, including Brian Cashman. But you got to get over it, because, you know, the task at hand is you're not going to give up the season. You're just not. But I think that the way you look at the season is a lot different. They're going to have to piece it together. And the fact that it happened right at the start, I guess they have some time to pivot, and there are still people out there, but are you paying 110% tax on one of those people out there? Let's go to Angelo in Island Park. Angelo.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey there.
Yeah, I'm the guy that brought in the picture album at the last party.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm upset. I'm upset with Judge, I'll go on my English accent. It's a bit cheeky, don't you think?
It's
a big pain in the arse.
Well, I mean, I think Aaron Judge wants to play, so I'm not exactly sure where Angelo is going. Of course he wants to play. You know, from what, you know, I've heard today, you know, he took so much extra BP during the offseason. Maybe that has caused this, whatever this is. But the MRI didn't show any. I've never heard of an MRI on an abdominal muscle, but that's what he had. And there's some soreness there. But they don't, again, I'll tell you, what I'm hearing is they don't seem overly concerned about that.
But this, doesn't this feel like something that's just going to be, I don't want to say a chronic issue, but something that's going to come up during the length of his contract? He's north of 30 years old. They've got a huge investment in him. And I think they're not going to take any chances on any tweak, any problem that's going to arise, because they've got that huge investment. He's part of the firm now, right? He's going to be here for the next decade. They want to make sure that he lasts as long as possible. So don't you feel like they're going to be treating him a little bit differently than everybody else, and and be overly precautious every time he feels anything, any fatigue, any issue whatsoever?
I'm sure, but I guess, you know, the question is, why does he feel fatigue in spring training? Why is there an issue in spring training? So it was after he missed, you know, so much time last year, simply because he ran into the wall. That wasn't anything his fault. I'm not saying that this is his fault either, but when you have muscle pulls or injuries like this or fatigue, you know, one of the callers just said, well, what do they do during our season? I don't know what they do. That's proprietary information. They're not telling me how they work out their guys.
Right.
But they have certainly taken a look at this over and over and over again. I'm sure they've gone over it with a fine-tooth comb about why the injuries are happening. I don't know. I don't have that information for you. Let's go to Norris in Michigan. Norris.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Big fan of the show.
Thanks.
So, about the Cole situation, and I'm sure you guys know about the rumor of them wanting to get back in on Cease. Listen, the Yankees already, whether it comes to trading or getting a pitcher through free agency, the Yankee tax is a real thing. They're going to be charged more by every team, or the agents are going to ask for more money from the Yankees just simply because they're the Yankees, a historic franchise. So when you pair that with the fact that now they're desperate for a pitcher, and we know pitching is a hot commodity in the MLB, and you need it, and especially now that you're the Yankees, the price only goes higher. I mean, now I don't see a world where the White Sox don't ask for Spencer Jones in a Dylan Cease trade. You had the opportunity to get him before any of this happened, Corbin Burns before the Orioles took him, maybe even a Shane Bieber. None of these guys are on the level of Cole, but I'll tell you one thing. There sure are things when you have a bunch of question marks in your rotation, Rodon and Nestor coming off an injury, Clay Schmidt not really...
Wait a second, Norris. When you say they had a chance, the White Sox wanted Spencer Jones. You're giving up the number one position prospect in your organization for Dylan Cease? By the way, Dylan Cease walked 77 batters last year.
100%
He has a whip of 1.42.
Last year was a down year, but he had Cy Young stuff the past few years.
Well, the previous year he finished second in Cy Young. So, yeah, he's a good pitcher. He's a good pitcher. I'm not sure he's that good of a pitcher that I'm giving up Spencer Jones. Maybe they'll get desperate. Maybe they know something that we don't know. So if they pull the trigger and they give up Spencer Jones, that tells you they know something. But I can't see. When you look at Dylan Cease, he's not Gerrit Cole. And no one is. I mean, you could say, well, Blake Snell is a Cy Young Award winner in the National League. Yeah, another guy doesn't give you innings. Another guy walks a truckload of people, throws an awful lot of pitches. So right. It's not Gerrit Cole. Well, again, right. I will tell you, there's no Gerrit Cole out there. You can't go to Target and go to the Gerrit Cole aisle. There's not. No.
But the question is, can you get another ace? Can you get somebody so. That's better than anybody else in your rotation?
I guess Snell is an ace.
So that
are you willing to spend $63 million for Snell? That's the question.
Yeah. Well, the fans would.
Oh, I know they would.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so many things to get to. So when we left the air yesterday, you know, there's still the sting of losing Saquon Barkley for the Giants. I don't know if it was a sting. You know, they quickly pivoted to Singletary, and they brought him in for a lot less money. And then, you know, Barkley goes to the Eagles. But they kind of rebounded, guys. They brought in Burns from North Carolina, from Carolina, gave him a big contract, and they think they're set on their defensive line. And today they signed a backup quarterback, Drew Locke. I don't know how much that excites the Giant fan base, and we'll see exactly. But, you know, they did do some work. They shored up their offensive line as well.
It's not sexy, but that doesn't mean it's not good.
Right.
I mean, Burns had 12 and a half sacks in 2022. He's had 46 sacks in his career. He's 25 years old. So it sounds to me like that's a really good edge pass rusher to complement Thibodeau. And what's this league about? Protecting the quarterback and going after the quarterback. And, you know, Runyon came in. There's still some more money to spend. Again, you know, Singletary's not sexy. Burns isn't sexy. But in football, it's just about getting guys to play to the best of their ability, and trying to win games and trying to turn things around. So we'll see how it turns out. Michael, if he has 12 and a half sacks this year, then that becomes sexy.
Right.
But when you acquire the best defensive player on one of the worst teams in football, that's not going to get people all hyped up and excited. Henry going to Baltimore has got the Ravens excited. But it also came at $16 million, could possibly be $19 million over the next 2 years each year if he hits his incentives. But Baltimore's trying to win a Super Bowl. Giants are trying to build towards something here with good young players at the price they want. So not sexy, but hey, if it wins you a few more games to get you into the playoffs on a consistent basis and grow into something, then it can become sexy.
And the Jets seem to be shopping in the bargain bin. Doesn't seem like they're making anything revelatory. They're certainly not rocking the boat with any of their signings. It seems like they're going for, you know, lesser valued players, or maybe I shouldn't say lesser valued, but obviously they're not getting the big money, and the Jets are trying to make incremental improvements. But one thing that we cannot let go by, Don, is the genius and the foresight of our very own Peter Elliott Rosenberg.
Oh, yeah.
With with Derrick Henry going to the Ravens. Something Peter said years ago has actually happened, Peter. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how do you do it?
Well, apparently he needs to have like some sort of a stroke, and through that stroke comes genius. But when they say stroke of genius, it means something different.
Oh my gosh! You know what, Don? I didn't even think about it that way. It was an actual stroke. Can I get it one more time? I want to feel it. I want to hear it in my soul.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds, the Ravens against Derrick Henry and the Tennessee.
Can it come back?
Cover them both, Peter. You covered them both.
Is it possible at the last minute it has done in history? Has there ever been a drop that makes a return? I mean, it kind of feels appropriate.
Oh, you think that when we reveal the brackets on Friday, it should be that?
It may make sense. I mean, it's electrifying the world. By the way, though, I have to admit, I love our listeners. Don't get me. I remember the drop quite well, of course, but I was shocked at the amount of people who reached out to me to celebrate.
I was shocked, too. You're right. I mean, they get it.
Yeah, like, it was a fun moment. But, man, it was the first thing anyone thought of was Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds.
And I think that Baltimore actually got a pretty good deal. I thought he'd get more. Now, he's older, but he's a horse. So, that's a good signing for them. You got Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in the backfield. That's,
I know, what do you do? What do you do? They line up in the eye. Well, what are you doing?
There's
special.
There's always an outlier to every rule. An exception, and he's that exception, because he doesn't have to make people miss. He doesn't need a hole. He's a guy at the end of a playoff game, and you're nursing a 7-point lead, 3-point lead, and you got the ball at your own 20 with 3 minutes to go. All right, it becomes the Derrick Henry show. You know he's getting the ball, but are you going to be able to stop the Ravens from getting a first down? And as you said, now I have the element of Jackson, and what are we going to do? And so he's the one guy that, even though he's north of 30, and you usually don't pay that much money to guys that are that age, he's the exception to the rule.
All right, Don, I got to ask you a tough question. You're doing the Ranger game tonight.
Sure.
When does the whole Rempe thing stop being cute?
Well, now it's not cute. Then last night was not cute at all.
I mean, because I keep hearing that he's a brawler that has skills. But all we keep seeing is the brawling.
Well, but here's where he's got to find a level of maturity, all right? And he showed it earlier in the game. McDermott wanted to go after him. Clearly, Laviolette told him don't, and he didn't. So he showed the level of maturity there when he was trying to get baited by the Devils early. But clearly, he had a burr in his saddle after what happened on the 22nd when Siegenthaler went after him after the Bastion hit. So,
and yes, you showed it. He clearly elbowed him in the head, Don.
And listen, you know, I work for MSG. I call Ranger games. Everybody that I respect in with the Rangers, you know, Dave Maloney during the call, it's an illegal play. You know, he chicken winged him. I mean, he threw. Don't try to make it seem, oh, well, Siegenthaler stopped, or he was trying. No. He caught him in the side of the head with his elbow. It's a suspension. He's had a hearing today. We're waiting word on what's going to come down. I think it's probably going to be about a 2-game suspension because it's over Zoom and not in person. It's going to be less than 5 games. So maybe it's 4, maybe it's 2, whatever. But here's the issue. Fans love him, and the place went nuts last night, and they were screaming when he was thrown out of the game, and he was waving to McDermott and all that stuff. It's all cute. But now say he gets suspended 2 games. You've got 2 big games coming up this week against Carolina tonight, Tampa on Thursday, and now Brodzinski's going to play. And what if the Rangers win those games? If Brodzinski plays well, guess what? Rempe may not come back into the lineup when he's eligible to come off of suspension. So that's where it starts to lose its steam. The best ability is availability, and if he's going to be sitting there out of games for 2 and the Rangers are winning and the guy that replaces him does well, he may not get back into the lineup as easily. And the other thing, if the Rangers do not play well and they lose and they miss him, Well, then it shows you that he was irresponsible, and by not being able to control himself, he's not there to contribute to this team. He is auditioning for a chance to play big games for this team in the postseason. Michael, if that had happened in the playoffs, and now he's gone for the next game or two, that could affect their season. So that was a bad job. I can't defend him. I think he's a good kid, but that to me was an indefensible hit, and he deserves to be suspended.
Yeah, right, you can't see it any other way. I'm sorry, Don. It was. Don't get me wrong. It was perfectly timed. He absolutely wanted to nail him right in the chin, and did so.
Let's go to Frank in New Jersey. Frank.
Hi, Michael and Don and Peter. Don, okay. Continuing on the Remke, that was my actual question today. With the talent and the excitement that he's bringing to the game, how do the Rangers rein in his enthusiasm, his oomph for the game, but not take away his energy? You know what I mean? How do they control that? Because, like you said, everybody's discussing about it.
Michael, you know how New York gets. Peter, you know how New York gets. I'm doing the game on Saturday against the Blues. It's the warm-up, okay? The building is just, people are filing in, all right? It's not even full yet during warm-ups. People are still getting their chicken fingers. They're still figuring out where their seats are. They show him on the Jumbotron. The place went nuts. They love this guy.
So he's become a cult hero. Yeah.
So now is the turning point, because now you want to please the crowd. Now you get all energized. You've got to be able to learn how to control that. Teams are going to try to bait him in the fights. Teams are going to try to get the better of him. And he can handle himself. He's 6'7", 6'8", and he certainly knows how to fight. But moments like that can cost you games. You know, they almost lost that game last night, Michael. They were up 2-0. They were dominating. All of a sudden, the Devils score 2.5 minutes to go. It's 2-1. That would have been an ugly way to lose a game, having to play shorthanded, losing him, giving the Devils momentum, giving them a reason to kind of play. Their season's almost over, and now you've kind of gotten them all fired up after what happened to Siegenthaler. Laviolette's a really talented coach. They're going to have to find a way to reel him in, but yet still have him play on the edge necessary. It's a fine line. It literally is. And he's going to have to try to figure it out. And maybe sitting a couple of games will wake him up to realize what can happen when he crosses that line.
I mean, I understand the suspension might wake him up, but isn't that the coach's job? Sit him down. This can't go. This can't stand unless they want him to continue to do it. Unless they like him,
No, they don't. But listen, Laviolette's not going to stand for that. He said it when the kid was first called up. He's like,
he keeps doing it, Don. So why doesn't Laviolette shut it down?
Well, I mean, listen, because he's been playing well. I mean, he almost scored a goal. People thought he did. It banged off the post, and it was called a goal. They took it off the board because it didn't cross the line. He's been so involved. So they're just trying to balance it because he's really helped this team. He's created a fourth line that's been fun to watch. And now you kind of try to balance it out. And you're right. He's going to get suspended, obviously. But I think Laviolette, he'll get suspended. But if it happens again and he doesn't get suspended, he's going to have to sit. But he said it when he first got called up. He cannot help us sitting in the penalty box. Or he can't help us taking a game misconduct like he did against the Devils the last time on February 22nd. He's thrown out of the game 2.5 minutes in. So Peter will find a way to figure it out. Whether he gets it or not, ultimately we'll have to see.
Dave in Watertown. Dave.
Hiya, gentlemen. Good afternoon.
What's up?
I have four succinct points to make, and then I'm going to hang up and let you comment on them.
Okay.
Number one, I wouldn't trade Spencer Jones for any circumstances. Any. Number two, do you think that a team should, once a player is out for the year, that should not go against their cap? Number three, Ryan Cashman is not infallible. Sure, he's made some bad moves like Josh Donaldson, but I can remember when the Yankees first got Stanton, the fans thought it was manna from heaven. And DJ LeMahieu, they wanted to give him whatever he wanted in order to keep him. And the last one is, if you want the Yankees to be the old Yankees, you need to find an owner that treats the team like a hobby, not a business. And I'll hang up and let you comment.
Well, don't hang up because I want to ask you one thing. How much more money do you want Hal to spend? Have a $300 million payroll. What do you want?
I don't understand. He wants to treat it. You need to. I don't. I'm not saying you do. I'm just saying with the economic.
But even like okay, so Dave, I'll let you listen. Steve Cohen does not run the Mets like a business, or at least he didn't. This is a hobby for him. He's got $20 billion in his bank. $20 billion. And he's found religion. So I'm just wondering, you need an owner that it's a hobby and not a business. How much would somebody where it's a hobby, would they spend on the team? Look at Steve Cohen. I mean, the Yankees have a higher payroll than the Mets. What do people want from this guy? I don't get it. What do people want? He traded for Soto knowing that it was going to be $32 million, and if they keep him, it's going to be $50 million a year. He gave Judge the ninth year when his baseball people probably didn't want to give a ninth year. I don't understand people. It's mind-boggling to me. You need an owner where it's a hobby. Okay, that's across town. How did it work out? How did it work out? They're paying Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander to pitch for other teams. I mean, that's silliness. Well, now, the other point that you made, I actually agree with, but, you know, teams are going to exploit it. If Gerrit Cole goes on the IL all year and it's legitimate, that should not count toward the tax. It just shouldn't. That should open up a $36 million hole where they could replace it. But that's not in the basic agreement. I don't mind that idea at all. But you know what I'm saying, Don, about you bringing a guy, it's a hobby and not a business.
Well,
Steve Cohen's turned it into a business this year.
But also, when it's a hobby, then people obviously then rip Woody Johnson when he decides to go to the UK to be their ambassador. So, like, are you in or you out? Like, if I treat it as a hobby, well, then that means there's other things that are more important, and the fans scream that the team that they own isn't high on the to-do list. So I don't get that. Now, the problem with baseball doesn't have a cap, but, like, in the cap sports, like what's happening with Vegas and Stone or what happened with Kucherov a couple of years ago with Tampa, is it right, Michael, when a guy's out for the year but eligible for the postseason, that they can now load up their roster,
no,
kind of circumvent the salary cap, and then when the playoffs begin and the cap is gone, oh, that player conveniently comes off the IL, and now you've got your loaded team in the playoffs.
Well, I think that there should be a rule that if you're taken off the cap, or in the case of baseball, a tax, you're not eligible to play the rest of the year. You're just not.
But that's also unfair, because what if you can play in the postseason? Now, you can't improve on your team in the regular season when a guy is hurt? Like, so I get both sides of it. Like, when Kucherov was hurt, like, if they purposely held him out, well, then that would be a violation. But if it worked out that he could come back in time for the playoffs, shouldn't he be allowed then to play?
It's a tough call. That's what I mean, that if you did have that codicil in the CBA, people would exploit it. They just would. They're always looking for an edge. Don, tell us about BetMGM, please.
Well, basketball season is here, and it's time to hit the court with BetMGM, an authorized betting partner of the NBA. Download the BetMGM app today and make every game and every play mean more than ever with single-game parlays, live betting options, player props, boosted odds specials, and the best daily promotions in the business. With the BetMGM app at your fingertips, you can experience excitement of wagering on NBA action all season long. Find out why basketball fans love BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Madison Square Garden and the New York Knicks. Download the app and take the king of sportsbooks with you wherever you go. BetMGM.com for T's and C's. Must be 21 plus to wager. New York and New Jersey only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, help is available in New Jersey. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
It's game time. We're brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. The Knicks look for revenge tonight at Madison Square Garden against the Sixers. Coverage at 7 on 98.7. And the Rangers are back in action down in Carolina with coverage at 6:30 on 1050. Don LaGreca does the play-by-play. That's game time. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish Whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Let's go to Gene in Lido Beach. Gene.
Hey, guys. First time, long time, and I love your show.
Thanks.
I'm a Mets fan. Welcome. I'm a Mets fan, and I feel bad about Gerrit Cole's injury. I'm wondering if you guys saw Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic about a week ago wrote an article. He interviewed the Texas team physician.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, I mean, the bigger picture is that IR, you know, the pitchers going on the IR has more than doubled since 2010. And, you know, and this guy is saying the problem is that people are throwing the you-know-what out of the ball. And, you know, you throw a 95-mile-an-hour slider or power changeup, they're calling it, or, you know, throw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and, yeah, and guys are breaking down, you know, right and left.
Gene, I'm sure it has something to do with it. When Gene's talking about a story by Ken Rosenthal where he talked to Dr. Meister of the Rangers, who said guys are just throwing too hard and the arm can't support it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's all they're teaching, Don. Everybody goes to the Driveline Academy to get increased velocity. So they're throwing all out. That's why pitchers can't go more than five or six innings anymore. That's why Gerrit Cole was such an outlier, because he could throw 98 miles an hour in the first and 98 miles an hour in the ninth. But I think it's too much wear and tear on the arm. Now, that every once in a while, there's another kind of outlier like Nolan Ryan, who could do it till he's 45. But they are few and far between, and pitchers just get hurt all the time. There's got to be a reason.
What I think, and not being any kind of a doctor or medical science at all, is these 96-mile-per-hour sliders.
That's like, what got DeGrom.
You know, Nolan Ryan threw hard, right? He threw fastballs. But these guys are throwing the torque on their arm for sliders and curveball with velocity. I think that's what's doing the damage more than the fastball. I mean, a fastball is usually, you know, somewhat straight. The arm angle is different, so you can maybe get a little bit more torque and throw without putting that much on the arm. Michael, to be able to twist the arm for a slider or curveball with that kind of velocity, is, I think that's probably where the damage is coming from.
Yeah, we had Steve Sciarrippa. We had Steve Sciarrippa in the studio. He's a big baseball fan. So after his appearance, he said to me, why do the pitchers get hurt? And they never got hurt before. And I said, well, they did get hurt before, but they didn't have a union, so they pitched through it. I'm sure Whitey Ford tore his UCL, and he pitched through it. I mean, that's just all there is to it. Now, I mean, there's such a dearth of pitching that they treat them with kid gloves and not going to allow a pitcher to pitch through any kind of injury.
Well, it's the dearth of pitching. It's the how much money you've invested and how many years you've invested in this pitcher, where you want to keep him healthy as long as you can. So if that means shutting him down early in the contract or putting him on the IL, where back in the day, where a lot of these guys, you know, back when we were growing up, you know, basically one-year deals, not a ton of money invested. Yeah, wear him out. If they get hurt, they get hurt. We'll find a way to replace them. Guys want to come out of a lineup because they wanted to be able to earn their next contract. But if I'm signed at $35 million a year for the next 7 years, that organization is going to treat that pitcher much differently.
And you know,
so,
you bring this up all the time, and it's so true, Don. I mean, they can't stop throwing money at starting pitchers, and then all they do is make them go five innings. They can't stop throwing money at starting pitchers, and they don't use them. And the Texas doctor said that what the Rangers are going to do, they're going to start preparing their pitchers to go longer in the minor leagues. Now, it's hard to do because usually your whole rotation doesn't come out of your system, so you're going to get some pitchers that come out of a system that doesn't let you throw 80 pitches. So it's a conundrum, but the weird part is they don't look at pitchers the way the Yankees have used Cole, which is the right way to use them. They use them like five innings at a time, and they're paying them $30 million a year. It's crazy. If you're going to pay them that kind of money and they're only going to appear in 32 games, get innings out of them. Innings out of them.
And what do they say about dominant pitchers? The time to get them is early in the game, because they're not going all out in the first inning because they want to hang out. They want to be able to pitch beyond the seventh inning. But now there's a lot of guys that they're just throwing filthy from the get-go. That was DeGrom's problem. Yep. I'm going to give you five, six innings, and I'm going to throw with everything that I have for those five, six innings, and everything else be damned, and then he ends up getting himself hurt. Sometimes you got to lose the battle to win the war. Maybe you're hittable in the first inning because you know you'll be that much better in the seventh and eighth inning, and that much better in September and October. But these guys, they're all out every single pitch, and the body's just not meant to do that if you're a pitcher.
Don, I don't know if you realize this, but Weezer is coming to Madison Square Garden on Wednesday, September 11th, for their Voyage to the Blue Planet tour. ESPN New York has your chance to score tickets at ESPNNewYork.com or on the ESPN New York app. Just scroll down to contest and submit your entry. Brought to you by Live Nation. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.